Hello, Bedford listeners, and welcome to Business IQ Radio, a non-commercial, non-political show coming to you on WBNH 105.1. I'm here today with my co-host, Don Byrne. Hey, Don.
Hello, Andrea. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Enjoying the summer so far. It's just great.
It's very nice. Well, today's show I'm really excited about because it's a show about our future entrepreneurs, that is, and the kinds of things that we're doing to get our young people interested in entrepreneurship and really identify the kinds of things they can contribute to the world of business.
And this is a follow-up to, we actually had a young entrepreneur who was involved in the topic we're going to talk about today on a previous show. So this will be a nice complement to what we learned at that point in time.
Yes.
Pratt. Yeah, great. Yeah. Well, why don't we start as we always do with some news around the state. I have a couple of interesting tidbits, if I may.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I do not have a drone story for us this week, but drones are still happening. But a couple of things that might be of interest. I was involved on the Board of Trustees of St. Joseph's Hospital for a number of years. And at that time, St. Joseph's wanted to expand, and we had to go through the Certificate of Need Board to allow us to do construction. And as you may remember, this was a bit of federal legislation that the state then enacted some supplemental legislation to make sure that there was not overbuilding of healthcare facilities and equipment and things of that nature. Of course, that was dropped eventually by the feds. It's continued in the state. Well, I'm happy to say that progress continues in this area and that the Certificate of Need Board has been abolished. I'm not saying that I'm happy that the board has been abolished. It's just one less bit of red tape that organizations have to go through. And I think the rationale behind this was they found that where initially the idea was to make sure that there wasn't overbuilding, what we found is that competition actually drives down cost. So that was a positive.
Is that supply and demand?
Supply and demand, the invisible hand of the marketplace. Another sort of fun announcement I'd like to make. This is something I picked up from the Monadnock Ledger. Announced a new business. Of course, we were all about starting businesses here in the state of New Hampshire. So a woman by the name of Sarah Green in Antrim has decided to start a circus called the Granite State Circus. So we're going to have our own circus in the state, and that'll be very interesting.
I love those homegrown circuses. Now, the Big Apple. Have you ever seen the Big Apple circus?
I have, and in fact, I worked with a fellow named Bob Rolla many years ago at Digital Equipment, whose brother ran a circus down south, and they converted the back of an 18-wheeler truck into their home, and they would go around the country with the circus. And then they would just have this as like a modular home when they got back to Florida, which is where they wintered. It would just plug into the rest of the house. And it was a very very well-engineered, very smartly done activity.
So let me just ask you, if you could be one act in that circus, what would you choose?
I think I'd be the big top announcer. That's what I'd like to do because you don't have to do anything physical and very low risk. I wouldn't be in with lions and tigers and bears.
And you like to talk.
I like to talk, and you're not going to find me on a trapeze, I'll tell you that.
See, and I would like the trapeze.
I can imagine.
Swinging.
Yep. Well, you're very athletic. I mean, you're a good athlete, and it's amazing the quality of athletes that are in those different events.
I think so. You can actually go to a camp and learn how to do that.
Yeah.
For fun.
Yes, I actually took my family one time down to the to a camp in Guadeloupe. And it was partially a circus camp, and you could opt to learn the trapeze. Instead, I decided to spend the time scuba diving.
Now, I could say that any time I take my family on vacation,
that is a circus.
That's
well done.
But
so I also wanted to mention one other sort of business that I, not quite a business, but an initiative. It's called Commute Smart. It has a website, commutesmart.org. And it is an initiative supported by the state where the state is trying to get people to cut down on using vehicles to drive to work. And so they're encouraging people to walk or bicycle to work. Andrea, as our sustainability expert, What would you guess, where would you say New Hampshire fits in the area of the New England states in terms of where do we rank in terms of people that walk or bike to work?
I would say that we are not near the top. I would say because we lack sidewalks, I think the roads are difficult to navigate. Am I right?
You are very correct. Only 3.3% of New Hampshire's walk or bike to work. What I found amazing is that 7.1% of New Yorkers, however, more than twice what we do, bike or walk to work. And that's, I think, a lot has to do with the density of New York City and, as you said, the existence of an urban system in terms of subways and buses and things of that nature. So those are my announcements for this week. And people can go to commutesmartnh.org and you can log in your they have a trip logger where you can put in when you've walked or cycled to work, and it has a calculator, and it'll tell you how much money you saved and how much you did for preserving the environment. And I think it's a good, interesting initiative. So go take a look at that website.
Now that we have a hands-free law for drivers, I think it's safer to commute on your bike, but still, I would be very cautious. I have an announcement.
Okay, good. We have time for about one announcement.
Yep. Okay, so I want to encourage all our veterans or families of veterans listening that SBA is offering a Boots to Business two-day business boot camp program. It'll be on the 19th of July at the Pease Air National Guard Base. So if you have any questions about that, go to the call SBA or call New Hampshire SBDC, and we can provide you more information on how to participate in that.
Can you give us a phone number for your office so that you or one of your minions, your assistants can help answer those questions?
641-4379. That's my direct number.
Terrific. Well, very, very good. Another interesting guest this week.
Really excited about this guest.
And someone who has a lot of roots, including a relationship with one of our prominent citizens here in Bedford, Dean Kamen. So let's get right to that.
You're listening to WBNH, Bedford Community Radio, and this is the Business IQ radio program. And our guest today is Ken Johnson. And let me tell you a little bit about Ken.
By the way, welcome, Ken. Glad to have you here.
Nice to be here.
So Ken has a background in technology and has held senior positions at technology companies that are involved in medical devices and power systems. In 2007, he joined FIRST as the director and established this program serving youth in grades 7 through 12 for the purposes of inspiring the next generation of science and technology leaders. Since then, Ken has developed this program, and it spans 18 countries, which is lovely because it brings a lot of students into the program. In 2013, Ken founded BizGen, which is a 501c3 nonprofit with the mission of encouraging entrepreneurship at the high school level. It's a pitch competition, which is right now based out of the University of New Hampshire, and since its inception has awarded 24,000 to teams of young entrepreneurs. And in some respects, I think that we could call Ken the father of youth entrepreneurship in the state of New Hampshire, and he's here today to tell us more about BizGem and youth entrepreneurship. Thanks, Ken.
Oh, thanks for having me. Thanks for the kind introduction. That was that's a lot to live up to.
By the way, is it the Manchester campus that you operate out of here in of UNH? Or?
No, actually, it's the Durham campus.
Okay.
So when we got started, I actually took a lot of the ideas that worked with FIRST and looked at how we could apply them in a business.
Give the listeners just a minute of background on FIRST in case they're not familiar.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we all tend to assume that everyone knows FIRST here in New Hampshire, but in some ways it's still a well-kept secret. FIRST is the name of a nonprofit that started a little over 25 years ago in Manchester by Dean Kamen.
One of our good Bedford residents.
Wonderful resident. And his mission in starting FIRST, his objective was really to change the culture into recognizing science and technology as really for the importance that it represents. It's a world-changing, life-changing basis of all the major improvements in our society. And he didn't feel that people were aware of that enough and sought to celebrate those types of achievements. And the way he decided to do that was through robotics competitions so that these teams could be celebrated for their technology-based achievements. So different than a science fair or something like that, more traditional education, really putting that celebration part into it. And it's caught fire. And right now, FIRST in total has 400,000 students around the world. So as you mentioned, my program, FIRST Tech Challenge, is in 18 countries. FIRST in total is in 84 countries. So the idea that Dean had, you know, some 25 years ago really resonated and has taken hold around the world.
Terrific. Very good. And so from FIRST, how did you get into BizGen?
So like I was saying, the concepts of celebrating student achievement in science and technology is powerful. Applying that in a business and entrepreneurship sense was something that I really felt strongly about and wanted to try. And back in 2013, I got a meeting with Dan Innes, who was then the dean of the Paul College, and pitched this idea to him that we could pull together an entrepreneurship pitch competition that would include high school students, that would encourage them to do all kinds of good things that were good for the state, good for the university, and good for the country, frankly. And that really is all around encouraging them to see themselves as entrepreneurs in the future. The specific benefit that accrued to University of New Hampshire in this case is not only was that aligned with their objectives of, you know, the health and well-being of the state, but high school kids with interest in entrepreneurship are prime candidates for the University of New Hampshire's Business College. As you probably both know, they have just a beautiful new facility that opened, I believe it was in the spring of 2013. So they have the venue, they have the capability to put on a really good event there. So they became our host and our founding sponsor.
You know, I was on the campus today, and I was at the Interoperability Lab. Have either of you visited that?
I have not.
I have not, no.
It is a magnificent, just to pick up on, you know, the Paul School is beautiful, but the Interoperability Lab is unbelievable. And it was in full swing, and I encourage you both to take a look.
The University of New Hampshire really is a incredible resource for our state, and I hope more people take advantage of it.
So you talk about the skills, the focus on helping students get, I guess, introduced and compete in the area of science and technology. But do you also cover the other aspects of business? For example, are they required to provide a marketing plan? Do they work on financial aspects? I mean, so how does it compare with sort of the business plan competitions that I think many people would be familiar with?
Sure. So just to make sure that we're on the same page, in the FIRST world, that is largely science and technology. There's a little bit of innovation thinking that can lead to entrepreneurship. And I think FIRST in the future will put more emphasis on that. But BizGen, as a separate entity and separate 501c3, is all about business development. Some of the ideas that are developed are certainly technology-based. And I think technology, the internet, ability to communicate, both for informational purposes and also for selling purposes, has opened up all kinds of opportunity for small-scale entrepreneurship to really take hold and grow. Before we went on air, we talked a little bit about some of your business and your background, and I'm sure that those same technology advantages have helped you. So the BizGen experience is a little bit along the lines of kind of a Shark Tank approach, but it gets much more in-depth into applying knowledge that they've learned in what I would call different vertical subjects that they've been taking in school, math, science, writing, English, those types of skills, and synthesizing them in a way that's unique to anything else that they'll be doing in school. And the product of that work is shown in a pitch. So to get into the nuts and bolts of how the process actually works, the teams will get started in the fall. Anywhere up until, you know, about their Christmas break is when they'll start getting the wheels turning on it. and they'll brainstorm, they'll come up with ideas, they'll refine those ideas, they'll work in teams to come up with information that either supports it or turns them in different directions. And we require that they provide the BizGen organization with really three kind of milestones. One is their first thinking around an abstract. What are they trying to do? What problem are they trying to solve? The second, as we get closer to the competition, is a maximum 10-page outline on their idea. And we say maximum because we don't want this to become another writing project, right? There's obviously some pieces to that, and they need to synthesize their thinking. But that 10-page outline is really designed to give the judges something to start with so that when they're ready to hear the pitches, which we have at the Paul College all on the same day, they've got some background in that. And then the third thing is the pitch itself. And the pitch is 15 minutes. They have 15 minutes on a stage, and they get about 5 minutes or so of questions back from the judges. And from that, the judges go through a rubric. They score the teams on how well they've done. And then the divisional winners of the competition then compete against the other peer division winners for the prizes.
Now, you've talked about judges. How do you go about selecting the judges, and what tell us a little bit about them?
The judging part has been really, I have to say, one of the most rewarding parts of the process. And I say that because, and it's totally an unintended consequence of how we get started here. But what it has allowed us to do is reach out to the business community in New Hampshire with a particular focus on venture capitalists, angel investors, of which New Hampshire is fairly well known for. Actually, I think the term angel investing was coined out of University of New Hampshire by an old professor that I had, Bill Wetzel, back in the day, as they say. I am an alumni of the University of
New
Hampshire.
What year was your year?
I earned my MBA.
If you don't mind me asking.
I graduated with my MBA from University of New Hampshire in 1993.
Well, you're young.
Well, depends on your perspective, I guess. So it's allowed us to really reach out into the community of businesses in New Hampshire and connect with them for the purposes of finding judges and also for finding mentors. And I'll segue to the mentors in just a second. But to stay on the judges, we have such a great diversity and depth of talent in the areas of small business development in particular that these folks have really risen to the top and provided a great deal of service to the BizGen effort. And like I said, the unintended consequences is just developing relationships with these folks that have really been instructional and in a lot of ways inspiring.
Now, I know that I watch Shark Tank occasionally, and I know they have nicknames for the judges. Mr. Wonderful is one of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a Mr. Wonderful on the...
No, we don't. We It's interesting because that show,
Are the students prepared for the reactions that they get from the judges sometimes?
I have to say sometimes no, and maybe oftentimes no. In many cases, this is the first time that students have been judged on content and materials that they've created by folks that are not their teachers, right? So all of us went through a process of education where our teacher was the person who graded our work. And they did it in different ways, but for the most part, it was on an individual basis. Having judges that are quote-unquote real-world business people brings a variety of input that is probably quite a bit different than they've been used to receiving. And a little bit of it is can be a little bit sharp-edged at times. Not in an unkind way at all, but in really a very kind of practical way.
In a real world, self-effacing way, right?
Yeah, yeah. And we do strive not to make it about the judges, right? I would posit that the Shark Tank approach kind of creates the judges as the stars because they're the ones that are there, you know, week to week. In the case of BizGen, we really want the kids to be the focus. The students are the focus and the process that they go through really is where all the attention is directed.
You're listening to WBNH 105.1 Business IQ Radio with our guest today, Ken Johnson of BizGen. And Ken, can I ask you, can you give us a sense of what kinds of projects the students are bringing forward. I'm glad to clarify. I misunderstood before. I thought it was only focused on science and technology, but it sounds like it's a much wider spectrum of offerings that are out there.
Yeah, by all means. I can see as we grow, there could be kind of vertical areas that might highlight technology or, you know, web-based businesses or things of that sort. But no, we're pretty broad swath. And in fact, they're not just for-profit businesses either. If students have an idea for a not-for-profit business, then those are eligible to compete as well. And the way that we measure the winning pitches are really by impact. And that impact could be profit, sales, traditional measures, or it could be improvement in the current condition. This year, just to, off the top of my head, a few of the ideas that were pitched. One was a system that would provide low-cost tablets in third-world countries that would be the enabler to deliver educational content curriculum to students that otherwise wouldn't have it.
So overcoming the digital divide issue.
Yeah. Exactly, exactly. So that was, I believe that business was set up as a for-profit entity, but certainly for a social good. We had another business this year. The one that won was maybe a more traditional for-profit. It was a group from Merrimack High School. The name of their team was ChemiCube. And the students there devised a device and actually prototyped it, had it at the event, that would very accurately, very quickly, and comparatively inexpensively meet out chemicals used in chemistry labs. So the problem that they identified was that the percentage of time spent in a typical chemistry lab in high school was disproportionately spent measuring out the chemicals and much less time spent on actually doing the work of seeing how the chemical reactions worked and documenting that. So they devised a solution to it that was a really well thought out dispensing system that could very accurately and repeatedly dispense chemicals, thus putting more time towards the real work in the classroom. And while I'm on that topic, I have to give a little shout out there. It turns out that the two students on the team, a boy and a girl, the boy on the team is the first kid. So he's kind of a two-tool athlete in that sense, had the technology and developed a lot of that through his participation first. And then developed the business sense a little bit through BizGen, but also through all of his own hard work.
And that team, I think, had actually won a national competition, did they?
Yeah, there was a competition that they participated in that was at a national level, and I believe that might have been more technology-centric. It was a little bit narrower, but yeah. So it was a group that saw BizGen as a way to further propel their idea. And that team winning first place walked away with $4,500 this year to help make that business real.
So because we're on Bedford Community Radio, I have to ask, how did the Bedford team place? How well, or what was their entry?
Well, I have to say there's a lot of room for improvement for the Bedford effort, mainly because Bedford didn't field the team this year.
No!
Yeah. And I can't put that blame all on Bedford for sure. We did talk to some folks within the Bedford community. There is a great deal of interest, but we really need to expand our footprint, BizGen's footprint, and make sure that more and more people are aware of the opportunity. That's frankly one of our limiting factors right now. I think we've proven out the demand side of the equation for BizGen. Again, starting in 2013 with our first competition in 2014, we really approached it as a pilot. This worked. Would it be attractive to the students? Would it kind of drive the types of thinking and behaviors that we expected, and it proved out, it knocked it out of the park. So the schools that compete come back and compete in future years, and we're really limited in just how quickly we can get the word out. And on the other side, making sure that we've got the funding to provide the sponsor, the prize money, and we also pay the coach teachers, the coaches of these teams are teachers. We pay them a small stipend for their work.
Well, show today can be a little bit of launching that effort here in Bedford.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So how do you fund the prize money or the stipends?
Sure. No, it's a great question. So as I mentioned, our founding sponsor is University of New Hampshire. And to be more specific, there's really kind of two parts of the university that have got behind BizGen. The president's office and Jan Nisbet, who's the vice provost there, picked up on the idea right away. She got it. And they were very generous to provide funding for the teacher stipends, or covering the expenses, I should say, for the teachers as small amounts, and some fees to get, or some funding to get the program up and running and maintained on a year-to-year basis. The other leg of that stool is the Paul College. The Paul College directly puts up the prize money. They also provide the venue as an in-kind donation, and they pick up a couple of the other things. The other thing that I'll note is, as I said, the president's office started out with this. We now work through UNH Innovation, which is tied into the president's office, but really is an umbrella organization that is responsible for commercializing technologies developed out of the university. And Mark Saddam has been the leader of that and has been very supportive of the ongoing development of BizGen.
So I'm sure that you're collecting feedback from the mentors, the judges, the students. Are there any sort of interesting lessons learned that you've picked up? And, you know, all programs evolve over time. So some insights that you've gotten over the past year or two?
Yeah, definitely. One of the things that I took with me from learnings at first is that data just speaks volume, right? We could, you know, get people to the events as you've been, and they see it, but most of the people aren't at the events. So it's really critical for us to get that feedback. And we've done that from day one. Every single one of our students participating in BizGen over the 3 years that we've had it has been surveyed. And to date, we've had about 200 students participate. So a couple of the things that might be of interest, one of the questions that we ask is participation in BizGen made you more likely to start a business in the future? And 80% answer yes to that. I think it is 84% are encouraged by the process to do better in their high school business-related courses. 78% are more likely to pursue a business degree in college. And about half of the participants reported that participating in the event and the pitch itself really made them more likely to consider the University of New Hampshire as an educational choice, which frankly was a bit surprising to me. Most of the students that participate in BizGen statistically are juniors, so they're right in that sweet spot of making decisions about where they want to go to school. A couple of other things, I won't bore with you too many statistics, but we also survey all of the coach teachers and ask them a variety of different questions. And a couple of the data points that have come back that are of interest to us at BizGen was the fact that 90% reported that it made it easier for them to comply with newer educational standards such as Common Core and other project-based learning imperatives that are coming down the pike. And I'm not sure if you talk about it on this show, but I think that there's a wonderful change that is coming through our education systems that really is starting to focus more on real life skills, real world skills, and teamwork, and the ability to synthesize different learning that you have picked up in different, like I said, vertical classes, and pulling those together is key on that. And BizGen hits that squarely. So this year was the first year that we made available curriculum around BizGen. So in the past 2 years before this, it was just as I described, the business pitch competition with teacher coaches working with mentors, which we still need to talk about, but and pulling together those pitches. And one of the things that we heard back consistently from our teacher coaches is their desire to use it in the classroom more directly. So last year, some of the sponsorship money that we raised, we used to develop curriculum, and that curriculum is mapped to standards that are aligned with marketing, overall business, and economics. So kind of three different spurs, but all of the work that's being done in BizGen in the classroom can be mapped over to those so that the teachers that are using it in the classroom can point to how it aligns with standards and hopefully get it further and more deeply integrated into their school.
Yeah, I know we had, I believe it was, is it Pratt Revell who we had on the show was one of the participants, and he told us he was going on into mechanical engineering. He's going to minor in business, that this had a profound impact on him. And, you know, I think a real good case example of how effective this this program is. Do the students get a credit, any kind of academic credit for participation from their schools?
They don't at this point. I guess with the exception of the credit they would get in the class that it's being applied. So, for instance, Sauhegan uses it as part of their marketing track. So, of course, they're getting credit for participating and completing their marketing course. And in that sense, I guess they are getting credit because they're going through the BizGen process to do that.
At Sauhegan, some of the students have used it in their senior project. So if you remember, I think it was Beach Valet, very passionate team. And one of the team members the following year continued to explore the possibility of her executing the business plan. And you guys had invited her to give the welcome address, which I think is very nice to have last year's winner circle back to talk to the students and reflect on the impact it's had on their lives.
Yeah, we, I think we got that part of it right, too. We did it in the second year, right? First year was the inaugural year. We couldn't do it. But each of the last 2 years, we did that. And it was really encouraging to see the students come back and 12 months later talk about the impact that it's had. So I think that we're really making an impact. And that in itself, that's the whole reason to do it.
Yeah, we're going to ask you again towards the end of the show, but if people wanted to follow up and learn more about the program, especially our people here in Bedford, what would be probably the best way to reach out and get involved?
So the easiest way to find out more information about the program is to check us out online. And our website is www.biz-gen.org. So biz-gen.org. Of course, we had to get the hyphenated one because someone somewhere has BizGen. .org already wrapped up, but that's the easiest place to get more information. Matter of fact, just yesterday we posted the photos from the event this year, which took place on May 26th at the Paul College. And if anyone has any direct questions that they'd like to ask, we also have an email account that they can reach out to, and it's bizgen411@outlook.com, and there is no hyphen in that email address. And that email address is also something that you can find on the website that I just mentioned as well.
Now, if some of our listeners might be wondering how they can get involved in a BizGen project, even though they may not have high school-aged children with them, what can we offer them?
So BizGen, one of the wonderful things about it as it's come together is that it really is a community-based effort. It depends on folks like the judges that I'd mentioned before. It depends on mentors, which we haven't talked about, but I'll say a little bit about here. One of the unique pieces of BizGen is that we take students that are in the high schools coached by teachers, and we match them up with mentors. And we've worked very closely with the New Hampshire Small Business Development Center, the SBDC, and their consultants. And those have been a great source of mentors. But we've also used mentors from other walks of life. So I would say that if you have a passion for entrepreneurship or even a strong interest in encouraging our next generation to look at entrepreneurship as a path, we'd love to have your help. So you can certainly participate as a mentor, perhaps as a judge. We have all kinds of different areas that you can help in, and right down to kind of day of the event stuff.
I was a mentor for the last couple of years, and I have to say that the creativity that these students bring to their project is amazing, right down to website to a app that they've done all the graphics for, and they've really put so much time and effort into it, and they're so clever. I've always walked away impressed by the level of detail that these kids put into their, you know, their businesses.
Yeah, when we started it again in with a hypothesis in 2013 and the pilot effort in 2014, that was one of the questions we had. Several of our judges had judged multiple collegiate-level entrepreneurship competitions. So there's a wonderful one at University of New Hampshire called the Holloway Competition that they compete for the Holloway Prize, and that's been there for, I think, about 25 years. We had some judges that had judged there. We had some judges that had participated at Dartmouth's competition that's somewhat similar, at Babson's competition, which is a well-respected business school. And every one of them came back impressed, and several of them said that the high school level pitches were at or above the collegiate level pitches. And I think that that's consistent, again, with some of the things that we see at FIRST. And what it really comes down to is, you know, you get students to rise to a level by giving them that challenge. And conversely, thinking that they can't do it really is a disservice to them. So giving them the chance to really reach high, and you'll always be surprised in an impressive way at what they can do.
You're listening to WBNH Bedford Community Radio. That's 105.1. And our guest today is Ken Johnson, director of BizGen, a 501c3. I wanted to ask you, you're going to reach critical mass at some point. You know, it seems like each year you double the amount of teams. And so I didn't know whether or not you had put any thought into doing regionals and semifinals and so that the actual day of the BizGen, you're able to handle the crowd.
Sure, that's a great question. So just to remind you, my full-time job is at FIRST, and I love the organization, and it keeps me quite busy. So BizGen's a 100% volunteer-driven effort. We're super efficient in how we apply those resources, but it does limit our bandwidth a little bit. But yes, for us to continue to scale, there are a few different options. Our objective, by the way, is to make the BizGen opportunity available to every student in the state of New Hampshire. We think that it's that important, and we know that the folks that are involved in the effort now realize that as well. But I'll take a second to even explain a little bit why we think that is so important. Small businesses are the basis of our economy in New Hampshire and, in fact, across the country. The number of small businesses that start each year is critical. And over the last few years, the net number of small businesses has actually started to decline. So the number of starts has fallen below the number of small businesses that close. And that's distressing in a few different ways. At a top level, I think that, you know, the spirit of entrepreneurship really is part of the fabric of our country's DNA, right? A couple hundred years ago, coming here and pioneering new areas, opening up the West, you know, dreaming big, and all those types of things leading to, you know, wonderful technology breakthroughs, all the different things that have happened just in the last 100 years, from, you know, the electrification of the country to, you know, railroads opening up the West, to improve forms of travel, to telecommunications, to semiconductor, to the internet, right? All of that has been based on an entrepreneurial spirit. So it's in the fabric of our DNA. We need to keep that. The other things that are even more practical, I guess, is that small businesses, in addition to representing about 96% of the total businesses in the country, employ over half of our employees. So if the rates of small business starts start going down for whatever reason, our quality of life suffers, not just in New Hampshire, but you can say that across the country. So that's one of our objectives, is to really make this available to everyone in New Hampshire and then, frankly, project it out throughout New England and throughout the country. I think it's that important to the future of our country. But to answer your question more specifically, what are our hurdles for growth right now, and what are our plans? Our plans are to continue to build the number of teams that are participating. We have been growing, as you mentioned, at a very good clip. We're going to soon come to capacity for a single day event at any venue. So looking at adding different venues makes perfect sense. And we have a vision towards doing that through the state university system and potentially other schools, depending on their appetite for it. And we've also looked at things like kind of a qualification system so that teams earn their way to the competition. And frankly, we're a little bit torn on that. Video submissions of pitches is certainly something that's not beyond the means of most students these days. They can take, you know, videos on their cell phone. However, what we've seen and what you've seen directly at the competitions is that the teams grow so much from presenting to a live audience. Again, it's so much different than what they're used to in school, presenting to their teacher or their student peers. But to present to a group of strangers that have wonderful business experience, really insightful questions, it's a level of attention that just drives so much learning that we want to make sure that that part's available. So the likely expansion is going to be through additional venues, and that'll be dependent on a few things, including sponsor development.
I'm really happy to hear you say that, because what hit me as you were discussing the BizGen initiative here is something you said earlier on, which is the students, it's an opportunity for them to interact with adults in an adult setting around a very serious topic. And, you know, there's the saying that the journey is the reward. I would argue against disqualifying some people who didn't necessarily do well in the beginning, because they may blossom, they may bloom, they will get benefit from just going through the process. And if we don't, you know, we don't want to necessarily turn this into who's the best. I think we want to keep this an educational process that is developing each and every student as we go along the pathway. So, you know, I would add my voice to what you were saying to encourage that sort of mindset.
Well, the teachers that I've worked with have said to the students, you know, this is a resume builder. Just do it. Just go through the process. And frankly, I've seen the presentations up to a day before, 2 days before the BizGen competition, and I've wondered how this was all going to come together, and with a little bit of apprehension, like, oh, these poor kids aren't going to be able to do it.
And we've all been in that situation.
And yet, yeah. You know what? It's amazing how they really managed to buckle it up. So when they get on that stage and they're presenting in the auditorium, I mean, they're really very impressive, and I'm very proud of them.
Yeah, I agree 100% with your point there. Case in point, I'm not sure if you were able to hear the presentation from the team in Gorham this year. What we find in the participants, right? It's 3 years in, so it's a pretty young program. But the first year that the students participate, you know, they're kind of feeling their way around. You know, this is something that they haven't done ever before. It's wonderful life skills, but it's new. Invariably, the second year when they come back, they are much better. This year, we had a team from Gorham. The team had some difficulty. By the time the event happened, there was just one student to present. In fact, their coach didn't even make it down. It was it could have been a very unfortunate situation. But the girl who made the presentation, one, had a really good base idea. It was missing some polish. It was missing some market analysis. It was missing some financial background. But the context that she made in making that pitch and the learning that she developed from herself in doing that, I think were invaluable. And I got a note from her and her mother after the event. And again, taking something that could have been, holy cow, how is this going to work out? And turning it into a positive, I think will make an impact on this girl's life going forward. That's going to be very positive.
She can look back on it and say she did it.
Well, let me pick up on that, if I may. It was actually one question that I wanted to ask before. You mentioned you want to make this available to every student. We had one of the local Bedford representatives, state representatives, on a couple of shows back, talking about the initiatives that the legislature is trying to put in place to make sure that we overcome the brain drain, the people who are moving out of the state. And it's, number one, it sounds to me as if this is one of the ways we can encourage people and say there are opportunities. If you like living here, you enjoy the quality of life, you can build a business around your quality of life. But I'm interested in the participation rate of males versus females in this. Is it pretty evenly divided? Because there certainly in the past has been more of a tendency to recognize startups and entrepreneurs as men, but it sounds like you have a good diverse representation students in this program.
Yeah, our participation is roughly 50-50 male to female, which has been very encouraging. We do pay attention to that because we want to make sure that everyone sees themselves in that role and that opportunity. In fact, our keynote speaker this year, if you recall, was Sarah Hartwick. She was one of the co-founders of Surfset Fitness. And she got her start, her and her partner got their start through Shark Tank. I think Mark Cuban invested $300,000 in their idea, and their business is now up and thriving as a successful New Hampshire organization. Of course, she's female. So she was able to speak a little bit about the journey that she's taken. And it's just about 50-50 male-female participation, and we're really proud of that.
It's terrific.
You're listening to 105.1 WBNH, and we're talking to Ken Johnson. Andrea, I think you had a question. I think I stepped on you there for a moment. Didn't mean to.
No, that's okay. I was going to ask Ken, you know, there are a couple of businesses that had been presented at BizGen, and I thought maybe we could just tell the story a little bit about some of those. For example, Zippets. It was really a very great idea. Can you Do you remember that one?
Yeah, sure. They Zippets was from Sauhegan, and they won first place last year. So many good things about that team and that story. In no particular order, I happened to be in the divisional round where they presented. And again, for those who don't know, we have last year we had four divisions, and they all compete concurrently with four to five teams in each division. And then the divisional winners compete in a pitch-off at the end to determine the prize winners. Anyway, I was in the divisional round where Zippets presented, and we had one of the judges, who is a vice president of a local organization in New Hampshire, who was so moved by their presentation. There was a point where, as they were talking about the concept, which by the way, was a little bit of a kind of a Tom's Shoes approach. And if you're familiar with that, for Tom's Shoes, for every pair of shoes that you purchased, a pair is donated, in most cases in different countries, but to needy recipients. The Zippets approach was similar. They had a bit of a technology angle to it, which was the attachment of hats and gloves or mittens to a jacket so that younger people wearing these wouldn't lose those elements, right?
Or get snow up their sleeve.
Or get snow up their sleeve. So practical in a couple of different ways. So there was a little bit of an angle there, but a part of their approach was that I believe it was for every three of these purchased, one would be donated to a local deserving underserved family. So it had that element in it as well. And there was one point in the divisional round pitch where the student who was taking that part of the pitch talked about them getting their name reserved as a corporate, as part of applying for a corporate corporation license. And they said, no, we haven't done it. We hope to use some of the money if we do win at BizGen to incorporate and to reserve the name. And so the judge interrupted and said, what's it cost to incorporate under the format that you're looking at? He said, it's $500. And immediately the judge says, this idea is too good. You've got to incorporate. I will write you the check today. So again, just an example of a wonderful judge who was involved in the process that was so moved by the pitch and the students making the pitch that he thought it was important enough to push them to that next level. Now, partially because of the quality of the pitch and the students, they ended up winning the entire competition and won $4,500. And as I understand it, that business is working today. They started it through the Sauhegan store and website, and it is successful. So it's really, those are the types of stories, one, that keep the judges coming back. And frankly, it's the reason why we do it. The things that these kids are taking away from this, I think will echo with them and with their communities for years.
Yeah, you know, the judges are very receptive to these student presentations. And this year, one of the judges also offered a connection, a personal connection of his to one of the presenting teams because it was a perfect match. And so the judges, you know, are so gracious to be able to bring that to the program.
Yeah, I remember that as well. I think that the idea had to do with lacrosse, and it was the team, yeah. So it was two girls that played in lacrosse team that came up with a business idea to solve a problem, in brief, in adjusting lacrosse sticks so that they met the requirements that are measured by the referee at the beginning of a match. And if teams don't, or students, participants don't meet that, then they're kind of in a tough time crunch to get it fixed. So they came up with a solution for that. And one of the judges happened to know someone at STX, which is one of the premier lacrosse equipment providers, and texted him, I think, during the pitch and said, hey, would you be interested in this? So again, you know, small state, and we've got wonderful folks that are connected at levels that you never would have expected.
Well, we're running to about 5 minutes left, 4 or 5 minutes left in the show. So the natural question is, what's next? Where are you going? What are the challenges that are facing BizGen as you move forward? And you can say this, Ed, to telling us about the same issues for FIRST, if you'd like, as well. So,
sure. So from the BizGen side, again, it's all about how we make this opportunity available to more students in New Hampshire. I'm sure you may have even talked about it in this show. You mentioned it just earlier, right? The brain drain in New Hampshire, and particularly of young people. I think that New Hampshire is the fourth oldest state on average per capita age in the country. We are 41 and a half years old is our median age here. So we are older than Florida. But the other thing that was interesting to note on that is that Vermont and Maine, I think Maine is number one in terms of being oldest, and Vermont's number two. West Virginia is number three, and then there's New Hampshire. So that doesn't make sense to me, right? I know the winters are a little cold around here, but New Hampshire consistently ranks at the top of almost every chart that you look at in terms of quality of life, employment rate, air quality, water quality, safety, all those things. So why are young people leaving? And I believe it's because of a perceived lack of opportunity. And I think that organizations like BizGen and BizGen in particular, part of our mission is really turn that around. We want these kids to stay in the state. If they do leave for college, then we want them to come back when they're done. And we really want to create a community that's welcoming of that. So there's some of the folks that have been interested in it. The governor's office has a Live Free and Start initiative, and they've been very supportive of it. The governor's special advisor on education, we've been talking with that group, again, as it applies to project-based learning in the classroom. They're very interested. But as everyone here knows, we are not a big government state. And that's a wonderful thing. But that also means that if we are going to implement programs like BizGen, then the businesses have to step up. And again, the wonderful thing about it is that everyone gets it. The people that see it get it. The people that are involved in small businesses get it. They've all traveled that same path. They've all reached a point where they decided in their mind, hey, I can do that. I want to do that. I'm going to try to do that. And we really think that BizGen is that turning point that a lot of kids can use to see themselves in that role. So our big challenges right now are to expand and really find sponsors that are willing to get behind it, get their name around it, and help both themselves and the image that they can create by being associated with BizGen, but frankly, help the state and the environment that we have here so that we can all be lifted by these efforts.
As a 501c3, how do you fundraise, or do you fundraise?
We do. Like we'd mentioned before, we'd like to be in front of every single school and talk to them about the BizGen opportunity. We'd like to be in front of every corporation in the state and talk about the opportunity. Right now, our main sponsors are, like I said, University of New Hampshire. Bank of America is a sponsor. They've been with us since the beginning. Comparatively to University of New Hampshire, they're much smaller. We have a marketing firm, Creative Co-op, that has donated some in-kind sponsorships, but that's really it. We don't have any, outside of the University of New Hampshire, large-size sponsors. So the good news is there's an opportunity there. So please, if you are interested in supporting our efforts, you believe in the mission, and you want to join our tribe, we're accepting sponsors right now.
Well, why don't you tell us again how to reach out because we're hoping that here on Business IQ Radio, we're helping get the word out, and maybe we can recruit some people here in Bedford and the surrounding area to get involved. So again, tell us how the best way to reach you on your website and your email.
Sure. The website again is www.biz-gen.org. That's bizgen.org with a hyphen. And our direct email address for inquiries is bizgen411@outlook.com. And that contact information is also available, of course, on the website. I'd encourage you to check it out. There really is some informative pieces there, including videos of prior years' competitions. The competition that we just finished, we would have videos up there in the next few weeks. But check it out and take a look at the kids, because you can really see, you can see it in their faces, which, again, is very rewarding and I think bodes quite well for their future and our future as a state.
Yeah, we need to put a YouTube channel up dedicated to BizGen, I think, because these are always entertaining and interesting to see these competitions. So we're coming to the end of the show. Again, we want to like to thank our guest, Ken Johnson, for coming in. And Ken, we have a couple little traditions here, so I'm going to turn things over to Andrea, because we have a couple of traditions we go through with our guests.
You've shared with us plenty of wisdom, but we're going to ask you to share one more bit of wisdom, which is, we ask each guest to pull a quote, an insightful quote, out of our bucket here and read it to the listeners.
Okay. Now, these look a little like fortune cookie quotes, so right. I want to...
I think that was the inspiration, yeah.
Okay, so just read it as it's written. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. Chinese proverb. Boy, how appropriate is that to what we talked about today,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Very, very good. And on that note, again, you've been listening to... Business IQ Radio here on 105.1 WBNH, and I'll turn it over to Andrea to close the show.
Well, I'd like to thank our listeners again, and remember, you can spend more than you make, but you can only do it for so long.